Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Rama, Lakshman, Bharata, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms of the sons of Maharaj Dasharatha. Lord Ramachandra and his brothers, Lakshman, Bharata, and Shatrughna, are all Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands into many, many forms. Advaitam, Achutyam, Anadim, Anantarupam. All they are one and the same. Vishnu Tattva has many forms and incarnations. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, 539. The Lord is situated in many forms, such as Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna. And these forms may exist in any part of His creation. All these forms exist permanently, eternally, as individual personalities of Godhead. And they resemble many candles, all equally powerful. Lord Ramachandra, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna, who being Vishnu Tattva are all equally powerful, became the sons of Maharaj Dasharatha in response to prayers by the demigods. next verse. Chasyanu Chadikam Rajan Rishi Dhistatvadarshi Shrutam Hi Varnitam Bhurubi Fayasita Ateram Mabu. O King Parikrit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramachandra have been described by many great personalities who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe his activities only in brief. Now please listen. Purport. Modern Rakshasas, posing as educationally advanced merely because they have doctorates, have tried to prove that Lord Ramachandra is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an ordinary person. But those who are learned and spiritually advanced will never accept such notions. They will accept the descriptions of Lord Ramachandra and his activities only as presented by Tattvadarshins, those who know the Absolute Truth. In Bhagavad Gita 4.34, the Supreme Personality of Godhead advises, Tadvidi panipatina pariprasnena sevaya uparekshantite jnanam jnanas tattvadarshinam. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Unless one is a tattvadarshi and complete knowledge of the Absolute Truth, one cannot describe the activities of the Personality of Godhead. Therefore, although there are many so-called Ramayanas or histories of Lord Ramachandra's activities, some of them are not actually authoritative. Sometimes Lord Ramachandra's activities are described in terms of one's own imaginations, speculations, or material sentiments. But the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra should not be handled as something imaginary. While describing the history of Lord Ramachandra, Sukadeva Goswami told Maharaj Parikrit, "You have already heard about the activities of Lord Ramachandra. Apparently, therefore, 5,000 years ago, there were many Ramayanas or histories of Lord Ramachandra's activities, and there are many still. But you must select only those books written by Tattvadarshis, Jnaninas Tattvadarshinah, not the books of so-called scholars who claim knowledge only on the basis of a doctrine." This is a warning by Sukadeva Goswami, Rishi Vish Tattvadarshini. Although the Ramayana composed by Valmiki is a huge literature, the same activities are summarized here by Sukadeva Goswami in a few verses. So, the desire of the demigods and of his father, then Lord Ramachandra appeared in this family of Raghu. So these are wonderful activities. The Lord is appearing because of his devotees. The Lord has expanded everything just so that he can interact with his devotees, so he can perform pastimes with his devotees. These are the reasons for the Lord's descent, or the Lord's any of his activities. Just to please the devotees. We see here the word was used, putratva. You know, the nature of sonhood. So he came to taste that, and also to so that his devotees could taste. He is the son, they is the parents. Or he is the husband, they is the wife. Or he is the friend, they is the also, they're also friend or master, servant. So the Lord has come to taste all these activities. So in this full quadruple expansion, Lord Ramachandra, Bharat, Shatrughna, and Lakshmana. So then we see all of the nature of the Lord being manifest. It means anyone can manifest any mood, but the Lord has taken particular moods to please himself and his devotees. So therefore, each of these forms is always manifested. Each of these forms is always performing wonderful pastimes and surrounded by all kinds of very loving devotees. So here we see all of them manifested. The Lord Ramachandra is the full personality of Godhead, and he is the Lila Purush. He is manifesting all these wonderful pastimes and tasting all these pastimes. He is the one who is fully absorbed in a particular pastime. Then Lakshman is his first expansion. So then he makes all these nice arrangements and takes care of everything. Then Bharat and Shatrughna, they are expanding from Lakshman. So then the attractive feature that is there in Lakshman, and also the mood of the ideal and just the perfectness of wanting to come to a particular position, come to that particular perfection, and that is all being manifested by all these different aspects. So we see Lord Ramachandra. He is very nicely tasting all these different aspects, all these different pastimes. And Lakshman is helping. He is helping all these things. And so this is, we can see that even in the pastime, these natures of the expansions are playing their part. Krishna wants to taste, you know, what is the pastime, but also he wants to taste that helping in that pastime. So we see then he is performing these activities and his brother is there, like we see Krishna and Balaram. They are, Krishna is tasting all these wonderful activities and Balaram is helping. He is arranging. He is making all kinds of nice situations appear. Then in that, then Krishna can taste very nicely all these things. So therefore, we see is that he is the Supreme Lord and at the same time, he is tasting these activities like that. Very, very wonderful thing is going on. And then we see Bharata, he makes things, he adds the, you know, attractiveness to the pastime. He adds that taste to the pastime. You know, he sets the situation, but in a very unique way. It's Bharata's mother, right? Because Bharata being the manifestation of Kandarpa. So then, we see his mother, she is, of all the mothers that are there, she's the most attractive to Maharaj Dasara. So naturally then her son is having these qualities. He is the attractiveness of the Lord. And then from, you know, that whole situation, then we see that the Lord's pastime then manifests of him going to the forest, right? Very early he's going to the forest. We see in the Ramayana. Then the glories of the dynasty are given so that we know, you know, such position and we are very happy hearing about all these nice pastimes. Then after that, then the appearance of the Lord and a few of the pastimes. Then very soon he is sent to the forest, right? This is what makes the story attractive, right? The attractiveness of this story is that Ramachandra is sent to the forest. If Ramachandra is just in the palace and everything's going very nicely, then of course it is nice, but it's more nice when he's gone to the forest, right? Because of the pastime that the Lord wants to taste. And then this is done, and then this is supported by Shatrughna. So we see that the pastimes unfold in this way. So with all four of them there, then the whole pastime manifests very nicely. So this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead with all his expansions. And this is all the aspects of, I mean, the all major aspects of his personality are all manifest in his pastime. So then we see that the various moods. And that can be appreciated from this. Now the mood of Lord Ramachandra himself is that of Maryada, that of very nicely following the rules and regulations. By following these rules and regulations, then he becomes very, he is tasting that what comes by following these rules. Right? So then we see many, many things come from this. One is that he is always accepted as the perfect king. Like that. And all the manifestations of the Lord is the most perfect. because he's following all the different aspects, all the different rules very nicely. So rules are what make established relationships. This is an important thing. Without rules, there are no relationships. Of course, the modern theory is we get rid of the rules, and this will enhance the relationships, and everyone will have such wonderful time and enjoy themselves and each other so nicely. But if you check, that's not actually what's being said. It's being said that I will throw out the rules that establish relationship, and then I will enjoy things how I want. Right? So the idea of relationship is not an integral part of modern society, of modern culture, this Western non-Vedic culture. The essential element is I will enjoy. And what will I enjoy? Not relationships, because that needs rules and regulations. I will enjoy my senses. Right? This is the important part. You want to enjoy the senses? Then of course, then you might consider that all this emotional, this, that, kind of gets in the way, right? You know, if you want to get down to just eating, then coming in and, you know, saying hello to everybody and talking and greeting and sitting for a little while, and then after that being invited into the next room and then sitting, and then after eating and going back to the other room and sitting and chatting, it takes a long time, right? But the modern culture gets rid of all these encumbrances, because the essential element is the eating, right? It's not relating with people, you know, being with people you like, interfacing with them, enjoying the atmosphere and time. No, the essential point is eating. Therefore, you walk up in the morning, kind of walk by, you know, whoever's in the kitchen and go, all right. And then after that, then you walk to the shelf, you pull out your box of Kellogg's cornflakes, pour it in a bowl, pour in some milk, go sit down somewhere and eat them, and then read the paper, or whatever you like to do. You know, watch the comic, the cartoon, whatever it is, the news. Something important. You know, you get down to essence, right? Modern life is no frills, just get down to the essence. You know, the real effective, you know, organized, you know, society, person, together, you know, all these kinds of things. So if that is the essence, enjoying the senses, yes, then the rules are not so important. Of course, some rules have to be followed, otherwise then there'll be fights over that also. You know, it means at least you have to wait till the other person has poured their bowl of cornflakes before you grab the box away from them. Otherwise, the ensuing fight could end up in cornflakes all over the floor, and only the dog will get the cornflakes, right? But, you know, whatever, these are, you know, some, okay, we can put up with a few practical rules, you know, but none of this emotional fluff, right? So, that is the thing, is that Ramachandra is considered is so wonderful because he follows all the rules, and because of this, he becomes the perfect son, the perfect husband, you know, the perfect friend, the perfect master. Because there's no time when he will break any of these rules. He can do it. Right? There's no reason. Right? There's no reason. Why is it that someone will follow these? Because of the relationships that are there. Right? Someone is depending. So therefore, these things are done. For one's own senses, for one's own benefit, you know, for like that, then there may be some breakage. But if you really think, well, what is my benefit? Right? What is the actual benefit anyone actually gets? What is everyone looking for? Right? I mean, in modern society, everyone wants to enjoy themselves how they want. But where are they doing it? They're always doing it in a place where there's tons of people. Right? You have to go to a mall, you have to go to some kind of show, you have to go to some kind of place where people congregate, some bars, some disco, something where there's a lot of people, because maybe there you'll meet somebody that you'd like to be with. So they're trying to establish relationships, but they're using a very unique system to do it. It means breaking all the rules that make the relationships. So if we look at it, what is most essential for us? Most essential is relationships. If those are there, we're happy. If those aren't there, we're not happy. Right? What is fear? Fear is that we're going to lose relationships. Right? Or we're not going to get them. Right? If you look at it, that's what it is. It's not something else. we're afraid of something, then we're afraid of losing something or not gaining something, right? And so that relationship with a thing, either sensual or another person, that has been very important for us. That is the essential thing. So Lord Ramachandra then shows how all these things can be perfectly carried out. How we can stand by, you know, with according to proper etiquette, proper, you know, attitude, then how we can properly establish all these relationships. And then we see it makes for a very strong interaction, very full interaction, like that. Very emotional work, the Ramayana, and all the different aspects of the world. So these things are there for this purpose. So the Maryada then establishes the relationships. This is the principle. So therefore we can see from this, if we want to have a proper, you know, society, a proper community, proper relationships, then these rules that are established must be followed. That's the whole purpose of them. No other purpose. Right? Like that. It means an activity should get a result. So the Lord performs lila for the purpose of the result of rasa with the devotees. Right? So this is on the transcendental platform. And it gives relationship. Right? One performs an activity, one's supposed to get a taste from it. Right? It has to get a taste. Otherwise somebody won't do it. If they do it and it's boring, they won't do it again. Right? They expect by their activity they're going to get some satisfaction. Some relationship with something or somebody will be established. And they will enjoy it. So it will come. Something will come from this. So then people endeavor. So we see the Lord, this is because this has come from the Lord. Lord performs his activities because it creates rasa, it creates relationships. There's nothing that Lord's not doing that there's not some rasa coming. Even the material creation is being created because the living entity wants to enjoy separately from him. So Krishna, out of his affection for the living entities, is making that arrangement. He creates the material world so the living entity can be here and try to enjoy it. Like that. They can try to think, I am the enjoyer. Like this. That is their point. They can try. Of course, they're not very successful. And so then even then he comes, he gives them the way you can enjoy it by giving all these different culture, the Vedic culture, all the rules and regulations. And by following it, one can enjoy it. But then ultimately, because one can't really enjoy it, even if one does all whatever wonderful pious activities are there, it gets all the wonderful results, still one will not be happy. So then he gives you the process how to go back to Gaja. So the nice, wonderful thing about the Ramayana, the two have been combined. The piety and the process of always remembering and engaging the Lord's service have been combined. So that all of the wonderful pious activities that generally give material results are directed at the Lord. So then they give transcendental results. So it appears as though someone is just following the regular Vedic culture, but actually they're following the purely the spiritual culture by serving, by remembering and serving Ram in this way. So this is a very wonderful aspect. So all these things are there. It means Lord Ramachandra is there. These are real, these pastimes. And it is our business to take advantage of these wonderful pastimes by remembering them, hearing about them, and following the example that is being set. We see Krishna does many, many things that we don't do. Right? But Ramachandra, what he does, this is to be done. He is showing us this is how you behave. Right? This is the proper attitude. Like that. Krishna takes liberties as the Supreme Lord, Supreme Enjoyer, to do things that may not be able to be performed by us. But it attracts the mind and brings us to the transcendental platform, which in the transcendental realm, in the spiritual form, we can take part in those pastimes. So Lord Ramachandra's pastimes are such that even in this present world, whatever situation we're in,
that can be nicely engaged in his service. Any questions on this? Mark.
In translation of the verse, he's saying, being prayed for by the demigods, the absolute truth appeared. Is it that they appeared due to the prayers of these demigods? Could you please enlighten us regarding the nature of compassion of Vishnu Tattva compared to the compassion of Vaishnavas? Is it that Krishna is Atmaram, he's self-satisfied in regards to saving the conditioned souls, and he's inclined to appear due to the appeals of his devotees, in this case being the prayers of the demigods?
See, the Lord is going to reciprocate with the devotees. That's why he performs his activities. Someone wants to deal with him. Someone doesn't want to deal with him. I do see it's one of the aspects of, you know, in culture, society. Someone wants to, you know, discuss something, or someone wants to interact. Then you do, and if they don't, then you don't. It's just, it's a natural thing. You don't impose yourself on someone. And that imposing is not considered so cultural. So we see as the Lord, then he doesn't impose himself on anyone, you know, not at least directly. Of course, death is there, you know, all these different things. One can't avoid that. That's just the temporary nature of this world. But directly, he's not doing that. So when somebody wants to relate with him, then he comes. Then so the demigods are having some difficulty. Not able to enjoy themselves like they like to, right? So then they call on the Lord. That makes them suras. The demigods, when they have difficulty, they turn to the Lord. The demons, when they have difficulty, they depend on their own abilities. Like that. This is the difference. So if they depend upon the Lord, that makes that is the devotee. That's the sign of the devotee. So the devotee, then they have the tendency to try to, when they see someone is, how do you say, in an unfortunate condition, then they try to help. Like that. The Lord, then he is always helping. He is making all arrangements. He is in the heart. There's, you know, the scriptures are there. So many ways that you get to know him are there. But he stays in the background if we're not interested. So he makes everything available. And as soon as there's a little bit of interest, immediately Krishna puts us in contact with some bona fide source of you know, connection with him. But then it's still up to us whether we take it or not take it. So then, but the devotees have a tendency to kind of go out and, you know, generally, traditionally in a pleasant way, then make the Lord's presence known. And that by serving the Lord, being connected to the Lord, then we can be happy. They make that known very early. But for the Lord, then he stays in the background. So this will be basically a difference between the Lord's compassion and the Vaishnava's compassion. But it's the Lord who's sending the Vaishnavas. So they're interrelated.
Spoke about the rules, so I want to know. They have these different platforms which are hard. Just follow the sanction level, So how these rules are applicable in each of these different platforms, and how they vary in a how and how different levels, following different kinds of groups, how it helps the practitioner to advance to the next level. So can you please explain about this?
Well, as Samyukta Maharaj was explaining yesterday, your practice of rules then creates habit. You know, there has to be some form. So that creates habit. Then one is able to get the benefits of the particular activity that you want. You can get the results. And generally, results don't come immediately. You have to do something. Unless there's a chain of events to get to your result. And then if you want to maintain the results, then you have to maintain the activity. Right? Results are coming as long as the activity is coming. Yes. Some results will come afterwards. But if you want to keep the results dynamic, you have to keep performing activity. So that's the point. Is that activity is there. It always is there. So now rasa is experienced in its three main forms, an anamoya, jnanamoya, and anandamoya, these platforms. These are the platforms of rasa. It means the transcendental rasa is anandamoya. The emotional rasa is jnanamoya, or manamoya. And the sensual rasa is anamoya. So pranamoya is a combination between sensual and emotional. And the vijnanamoya is a combination between the emotional and spiritual. So they're not actually the pure platforms, the solid platforms. Like one does not. Yeah. It means that you want to enjoy the senses, but then if you want to expand that, then you do that by just cooperatively working with others. Right? But those rules can be speculative. You know, you have some basic things, some, you know, based on some sense of morality or good for others, but it's actually for your own benefit. Right? When somebody is saying, yes, we should do this, we should do that, means that they want that. But they know it's beneficial for others if it's there. So they, in guise of that, then they make a presentation. They just want to make sure that they're taken care of. But if they're the only ones getting the benefit, others might not be pleased, so they might not get it. But if everybody gets, then they have. So they're willing enough to, that others will also enjoy, but I must enjoy it. Right? You generally don't see so much where it's others will enjoy, I won't enjoy. Because that's then getting to the platform of manamoya, to the emotional platform or religious sentiments. But generally, pranamoya means I will enjoy, others will enjoy. Right? Like that. We'll all enjoy. Like that. So it's not actually, it's still anamoya, but it's got a touch of the emotional to expand it. Right? We see they use expansion. The drive is the emotion. But the point they're making is sense gratification. Right? If you want to save something or establish something for somebody, what is it? These poor people, they can't eat, can't live, can't this and that. And the whole mood of it is very emotive. Right? It's not logical. They're not using intelligence. They're just using the mind. Therefore, from manamoya, they're getting something. And then it's the senses. So the platform is that. Or you have the jnanis, then they, you know, they have knowledge, right? So knowledge is activity, right? The intelligence means activity. And so the emotional platform is there. They tried to enjoy it, but they didn't find any satisfaction. So then they want to give it up. So they want to take up spiritual life. So then the impersonalists, then they'll be established on this spiritual platform. But what is the basis of it? That the emotive platform is useless. Right? Their whole position is not that spiritual life is wonderful, material life is useless. Right? Therefore, we want to get to that platform. So there. Though the form of it, they're talking spiritual, this and that, but the drive for it is the emotions. You see? You don't see that. Just like for the for the, you know, those who are into pranamaya, the basis of their position is the senses, pranamaya. But the mood in which it's presented, or the atmosphere of presentation and taste, they take, borrow something from the higher, the emotional platform. So that's their rasa. It's a combination of those two. So same with the jnanis, is that there is the basis is the senses, though in a negative way instead of a positive way, but the atmosphere in which they present it and taste is coming from anandamaya. So you see, it's in between. It's neither here nor there. Right? Therefore, these kind of, you know, these people are, you know, they are very prominent, but they're not as well situated. Someone who's just enjoying the senses, or someone who's enjoying the emotional platform, or on the transcendental platform, you don't hear as much about it. You hear about these two. These are the, you know, big rabble-rousers. Like that. Because they're in between. When you combine two things, then you get something different. You know, like you take sweet and sour and you put it together. Then you get something that's exciting. But you can't make a meal out of it. But whatever, it's exciting. So that's the thing, is that there it creates something, gives them some taste. Like that. So these platforms are there. So the Dharma, it's a different taste, you know. It's hard to explain. The senses, everybody can relate to, because eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And the emotional platform, nowadays especially, it's harder to relate to that, because most people, the emotions that they feel are actually not on the emotional platform. They're not coming from the mind, they're coming from the senses. You know, it's a desire, but it's not based on a relationship. It's a relationship with the mind and the senses instead of mind and mind. You understand? The pure platform of emotion is mind and mind. But generally what we hear of today, you know, someone is anger, attachment, these different things that come up, that's mind and senses. Because the mind's connected to the senses. So that is being tasted, and that's called emotion. That's a lower emotion. It's not a very high emotion. We can see it, and it drops to that pranamaya platform. You know, or anamaya. So, Ramachandra, you see, his pastime is very different. It's a very different kind of emotion, you know, that is there. You know, just the happiness of the parents and him, the relationships, how nicely he behaves with them. You know, he's so properly behaved. You know, very wonderful, very submissive, very courteous, all these things. And his parents, how they deal with him, it's a very different platform. Of course, this is the transcendental platform that they're tasting. But we see it's what we can relate from here. It's on that emotional platform. You know, his father is telling him he has to go to the forest. So it's yes, if that pleases him. You know, Mother Kaikeyi once said, oh yes, I want to please her also. You know, so it's just a matter of he is perfectly doing these things, and that creates the atmosphere. Right? It creates the rasa. So then you get if it's done properly, then you get the five main rasas. It's not done properly, then you get the secondary rasas. Anger, you know, chivalry, laughter, horror, all these things. So mostly we see people taste the secondary rasa. Very rare people actually taste the primary rasa. They just don't. They forget about it because they're into the externals. So therefore, then, you know, okay, they see their friend, they're happy, their friend. So for a moment, and then immediately they just get into laughing and joking, and they completely forget about that mood of friendship, or get into eating something. So then their whole focus is on something else. But it doesn't maintain. So my relation, my friend, is myself, the food, back to them. Right? And from them to the food, to me, or from me to, you know, the movie to them the movie to me, or, you know, myself to the joke and then like that. But it doesn't have any direct. The direct relation is not maintained. At the same time, some of these other things add to it. Right? It's like you have a whole meal, It's like this is what goes on in the modern situation. Is a full meal is put down in front of you, you go, oh, very nice, and as you reach to pick up something, it all disappears, and all that's left is this pile of salt, the chili, the achar, and the glass of water. Like that. But everyone says, ah, what a wonderful meal. Right? But that's what all that happens. The actual meal disappears. They don't actually taste that. So we see in Ramayana like that, is that the mood of Ram and his relationship with Sita, or Ram with his brother Lakshman, or Ram and Hanuman, that rasa never decreases one bit at any moment. At the same time, then there's so many wonderful different aspects of the pastime to add to that. You know? Sita being taken away, and then finding Jatayu, so that adds to that. You know, and then also then in there, then you taste that relationship of Jatayu and his service, and that he is, you know, he has given his life to try to protect Mother Sita. Like this, so that's added on to the relationship of Ram with Sita. You know, or his brother Lakshman, they're going and looking for Sita as his brother. You know, he's helping. So we see it's just rasas being added onto rasas being added onto rasa. You know, it's like you have a meal and then so many more preparations keep coming and different things and a little bit more of this and that to add to it. You know, so it just increases. It doesn't decrease. You know, whatever is there, you know, they're going to Lanka. Why? Now it's still going to get Mother Sita. Right, then they won the war. Then they go and find Sita Devi. Then they go back to Ayodhya. So that's constant there. His relationship with Lakshman is constant. His relationship with Hanuman, with Vibhishana, with Shatrughna. Whatever has been established, it's always there. And then you add these other rasas and things to it. So that's the meaning of sthayibha. Sthayi means it's fixed, it's constant. And then all these other bhavas, sanchari bhavas and all that, they come and go. They add to the flavor. Like that. And the main is there. But in the material world, then senses aren't constant. Right? You can't enjoy the senses. They just don't work like that. They're a very inferior thing to enjoy through. Like they have a very short-lived range of performance. Right? You know, it's like, you know, eating, right? Children think they're going to eat mountains of something, but after a few bites, they can't eat anymore, and they don't want to eat anymore. So the senses have given out on them, right? The stomach as a sense of an action, you know, is full, has no more capacity. And when it loses its capacity, the tongue loses its capacity. You know, nose doesn't want to smell anymore, eyes don't want to see anymore, fingers don't want to touch anymore. You know, they don't want to hear you say, take some more, you know, like that. Then they change. Then you go to something else. So it's just, the senses are not a very good medium through which to enjoy. The mind is always there and always active, you know, for better or for worse. But it's always there. So if it's properly trained, then it can be a great source. If it's pious, then it gives, you know, much more happiness. You know, much more lasting happiness. But still, the material bodies are temporary. So then bodies end like that. And so then still there's a frustration like that. That's why then next is the impersonal. Is that you want to give up this working with this. But no, the solution is you go to the higher level of rasa. That is that relationship with transcendental. Transcendental relationships with transcendental people. That then can be maintained for eternity. Right? The mind for at least as long as the body is there. But then the senses for as long as they last, the few moments they last. You know, and that's it. So that's the choice. Eternality, linked to the body, or, you know, moments. So these are the platforms through which we can experience rasa. So the principle is the same, rasa is the same, but it's just a matter of which level you want to taste it at. That's all. Does that make sense?
For some reason, Prabhupada states.
On the
Prabhupada. For some reason, Prabhupada states that difficulty in experiencing or establishing relationship with others on the emotional level, lasting relationship at least for the in the body lasts like that. So,
yeah,
what kind of rules, what kind of regulations can help a person who is on Prabhupada stage or Prabhupada stage, telling a compound and iron?
Seem to have an infatuation with the Pranamoya platform. See, Pranamoya is a so-called relationship is there, but it's general. It's not specific. Therefore, that's the weakness of it. To have specific relationship, then you must come to the platform of Dharma. Right, there's two kinds of platforms of Pranamoya. Right? One is mentioned in Brahma Samhita. One is the Sauryas and the other is the Ganapatyas. Right? So the Sauryas, then their interest is they worship life. Right? You know, nature, life, this and that. So it's unspecific like that. You know, they go morning walks, smell the air, see the breeze, see the nice nature, you know, so nice, right? But, so that's it. It's them and nature. And they enjoy it through their senses. Right? So still, it goes down. You know, there's some moment when you take that breath and you think, ah, it's so beautiful. That moment maybe is some little bit bigger or something. But, you know, that's all it lasts. It doesn't last more than that. But it's very general. It's just life itself. We want to protect life, but it's not specific. Right? Then the Ganapatyas means Gana. There's some Gana. There's some group that you have an interest in. So then you're interested in a particular community of, you know, humans or animals or some form of life. But you don't have a specific relationship with any of them. You know, you want to, you know, save the monarch butterfly, but you don't have a particular relationship with the monarch butterfly. Maybe there's one you like, but all of them you don't have. You feel you have, you know, but you don't really. It means next life you will, but this life, it's a little bit restricted, you know. So the idea is that it's not so developed. But on the platform of Manamoya, then specific persons are there, and you have this specific relationship. Like that. So the point is the rules basically in Anamoya is just the rules that the senses meet the sense objects. Like you want to eat, then you have to put something in your mouth. If you put it on your nose, it's not going to work. So the rules are pretty basic. You know, I mean, the animals can do pretty well at them. That's basically all it is. Means you have to have two things. You have to establish a relationship, then you have to establish the means of that relationship and the goal of that relationship. And then you have it. Right? So then you have, depending upon, it means eating is many faceted. So then in that, depending upon what you are, it may be the food in your stomach. Or it may be the food in your tongue. Right? Yeah, sometimes also it's just the food in your prestige. Right? You're out somewhere in some expensive place. Right? I mean, you can get the same thing down at the corner, you know, by the guy, you know, in the evening. But no, that's not good enough. You have to go to this very expensive place, you know, they give you a menu that doesn't even have prices on it. Like that, you know, and you're, you know, like that. So then, that's just you and your prestige. It doesn't necessarily taste better. Many times, the guy on the corner makes better stuff. But it's prestige of that you are, you know, eating at this place, you know, seen at this place. Like that, that's all. So, something is being connected. And then you have a medium of doing that, you know, so generally that means it goes in the mouth, you know, then the tongue will touch it, and then after the tongue gets through, then the stomach will get it. So then, you know, this process will be there. And then your goal is what? You know, taste nice things, or to make the stomach full. Right? So then, you know, there, it's been done. So not so many rules. It's pretty basic. No training, you can be quite good at any of these. Right? That. Pranamoy basically means takes a little more training, a little more sensitivity. So this is all the rules of morality, you know, just mundane morality, not connected with any rules of Dharma. Just don't steal. You know, because the real thing is, why shouldn't you steal? No, it's just everybody said you shouldn't steal, but why not? Right? That takes it to religion. Right? Because they're afraid of God, therefore no one checks that far. A good human being does like this. Right? But whatever. So, morality, your economics, justice, like that, these are all working on this platform. In other words, you can only run or extend economic artha, anything that creates, that runs artha, manages artha, that is the rules of pranamoya. Right? Like that. Even you're wanting something, you're wanting some gain for someone else. You know, some living entity is losing its natural habitat, so you want that to be gain for them. Like that. So, whatever it is, those are these the platforms. Justice, morality, economics. This is the platform. Like that. In Mananoi, then the rules are religion. Like that. And that by following religion, then you get that emotional experience. From that will come artha on its own, not separately. And when you have artha, then senses can be enjoyed. That will become. But this is not how we organize things. So this is the difference. This is what's shown with Ramachandra. Is that the Dharma is not used for artha and kama. The Dharma is applied for getting to the transcendental platform. Like that. That is the point. So then from that, if you're using Dharma in that direction, therefore the rules of Dharma that help establish one's relationship with the Lord and that free us from the contamination of the material world. In other words, for those on the next level, Vijnanamoy, the rules are what gets you out of this material world, what brings you to the platform of liberation. Right? That is the rules for them. And then the transcendental means what is favorable for one's relationship with the Lord. Like that. So therefore, then we follow the rules of Dharma in connection with being liberated from the material world to establish our relationships with the Lord. So that will be the form of what's called sub-dharma. That religious system that takes one up, connects one to sat. And the ordinary process is what it gives dharma, gives artha and kama. Most people, they perform dharma for artha kama, right? You go to some nice pious person's house, and what do you see in red on each side of the door? Right? And what do you see above the door? Right? Every house you see the same thing, right? Above the door will be Ganesh, right? Why is he there? To remove all obstacles to you getting all the things that it says on each side of the door, right? It says one side it says Shuv, the other side it says Lab, right? Now of the two, Lab is the most important. It's just a nice atmosphere. That's good, like that. But the real thing is the nice atmosphere should produce some results. Right? If it doesn't. So therefore, Ganesh is there in between. Right? Is that you have an auspicious atmosphere and he should remove all obstacles that you get your results. Right? Nice, it's a nice worked out process. Like that. Well thought out. Like that. You know, it's quite attractive. Many people follow. So, but that is using Dharma for going down instead of Dharma for going up. Right? Because you see, they were very pious, right? Grandfather was very, very pious. You know, son is quite pious. Son, you know, now and again, you know, as he rides by in his car, like this temple. Right? You know, so, like that. You know, the grandson talks about, yes, my parents and grandparents were religious. like that. You know, so like this, the tradition carries on. So it's it goes down, because what is it that they wanted? What did grandfather want? So the great grandson has it since gratification. Yeah? So it worked, but that's the problem. So then it's supposed to be used the other way. You're supposed to use it for going from Dharma to transcendental. The others are going to come without asking. Right? You don't have to ask for that. It just comes out like when you're eating. You have to work separately to become full. No, you just eat and it comes automatically. Right? Whether you want it or not, it just comes. So the same way, as you perform Dharma, Artha and Kama come automatically. That's all. You perform your duty, what result you're going to get comes. It doesn't matter. Like that. Whatever you do, you'll get. People think that if I work harder, I will get more. No, you don't get any more. Like that. You'll get whatever you're supposed to get, you'll get anyway. Therefore, one is supposed to do his duties. Prabhupada mentions here one's best is that one spends, you know, like maximum 8 hours in his occupational duty, right, for economic development. That's all. Because whatever you do, that will come in that 8 hours. It will come. It won't. Less will not come. And if you work more will not come. It appears that way, but it's not. You know, it's not like that. Because otherwise, two men are working, same job, same amount of time. One is becoming wealthy, one is not. Right? So it's not the work that gives the result. It's the performance of your duty that gives the result. The work itself is just, you have to do something. There has to be some form. So therefore, that's the thing. Right? Krishna, his pastimes have substance, ours don't. So it's that you follow the rule. Right? Understand? That's what's giving you the result. So therefore, one performs his duties, but not for the material result. He's performing his duties to connect himself to Krishna. That is what he's doing. So therefore, he does all his household activities, all his other things, whatever he must do, he's doing that. Because he has relationships with the family members, he must take care of them, all these different things he does. And he has his duty, he does it as a grihastha, he does his duties. And results are coming. Right? I mean, you can see, you have the same person, they're a brahmacharya, right? And they're doing their brahmacharya duties. Nothing in that brahmacharya duty is aimed at economic development. But are they eating? Yes. Do they have a place to stay? Yes. Okay. Like this. Then the same brahmacharya maybe gets married. Right? Now he does grihastha duties. Now is he eating? Yes. Does he have a place to stay? Yes. So then. So we can see is that if you look at it, that the work itself is getting the result, then how is it the brahmacharyas are getting anything? Right? Why should they get anything? What work did they do? Right? You must have some, people must now and again tell you, why don't you do something useful, get a job, do some benefit for the society? No, it's so easy. Because they think the work itself is the result. Right? You know, old man is there, he's not working. Is he eating? Yeah. He has a place to stay. So then? So it's that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, then you're getting your result. That's all. That's the point, is that you're doing. So therefore, you know, the grihastha is supposed to, you know, be kind to the family and deal nicely and spend time with them. You know, he's supposed to spend time with his occupational duty, and he's supposed to spend time with his spiritual duties. And if he balances this nicely, then it works out. It's not by spending more time with the family there'll be more, how you say, family satisfaction. No, there'll be less. Because the more you're there, the more you're taking for granted. If you're there too little, then it's also an anxiety. You have to find the right amount. The work also, you spend more, it's not going to increase. Only thing by putting in is you do your spiritual duties. The more you can do that, then the more you're absorbed in that rasa. Because that's the natural position of living in. But because we have these other attachments, right, for family, so that requires economic development, rise, all these different things. So therefore, we do those things, but according to the rules given by the Lord. Then satisfaction is there. There's no satisfaction outside these rules. Right? There's no satisfaction outside these rules. Only within. So that is what is going on. So one has to balance this. One has to see that proper amount of time is put into the spiritual, proper amount of time is put into his occupational duty, and proper amount of time is put into his ashram. So then it all then balances very nicely. Then it works. Otherwise it doesn't work. It doesn't work. That makes sense. What is our time? Hours. We should end now. Yes. Prakrishna Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Lord Ramachandra ki, Samavita Bhaktivinoda ki, Jayanta Gaurakrishna.